afternoon, if you have your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, we're going to continue our study of the Apostle Paul. And as he has ended his third missionary journey, and he has wanted to go back to Jerusalem. And so he is back in Jerusalem. And if you turn to Acts 22. We saw on Wednesday night that Paul was being accused of coming against the law and speaking against Moses and the law of Moses and not proclaiming truth. And that the Jews, specifically the Jews of Asia, and those of you who have been here on our studies, we know that this is not Asia as in the as we think of in the world today. It's not Asia, which is China, Japan, and the Far East. And now, this Asia was a province of Rome, and it was located in much of it was located in Turkey today, and some of the other countries that are immediately close to Turkey. And it almost went up, the province of Asia during the time of the Roman Empire almost went up to what the Ukraine is today. So that gives you a little perspective on what Asia is when it's speaking of that in the book of Acts. There were a number of Jews that had come from Asia, and Ephesus was a city that was located close to the Mediterranean Sea in the southern portion of Asia, and Paul had a special place in his heart for the Ephesian church. He had spent over 3.5 years there teaching and preaching to these people and getting them grounded in the Word. Part of the reason that he had such a tremendous heart was their zeal to learn more about God, and they gave their complete lives to the Lord. Remember, it was in the church at Ephesus that many of them had been deeply involved in the occult and Diana worship. The minute they became Christians, they didn't hold a giant yard sale to get rid of all their old artifacts and raise money. No, they took everything that had been involved in their Diana worship and their occultic worship, and they burned it all. They got rid of it all, and they wanted only to learn of Jesus. And this, and Paul had a real place in his heart for the Ephesian church. Paul preached there, and as he preached there for 3.5 years, the word of his preaching spread throughout that province of Rome. And there were Jews in that province who did not accept what Paul was teaching. They were much like the Apostle Paul had been before he became a Christian. And they were seeking to persecute those. They were called those of the way, or those that followed him, referring to those that would follow after Jesus. And they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, Paul had preached in every synagogue. When he'd go into a city, the first place he'd go would be the synagogues. And he'd preach to the Jews first. And he usually was met with a split response. Half the people would accept it, what he said, and accept the Lord as their Savior, acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah, and the other half would speak out against Paul and seek to have him driven from the towns. This happened time and time again. Well, Paul is now going back to Jerusalem. When he gets back to Jerusalem, those of you who are Wednesday night, remember that he was met by these same Jews that came down from Asia, and they began to speak lies about Paul. They said that he really wasn't teaching the Word of God, that he was trying to come against God and the law of Moses. And they caused a riot to occur. And we see that many of the Jewish people in Jerusalem at the time grabbed Paul and began to beat him. And then the Roman soldiers came and got Paul away. And when they had gotten him away, they were about ready to go and give him the cat of nine tails to try and find out who he really was and what this rioting was all about, when he mentioned to them that he was a Roman citizen, and they were filled with fear because they realized he had special rights as a Roman citizen. And so they began to take him, and they were going to take him to a different place away and be secure. And then all of a sudden Paul sees the crowd and the mass that's gathered there, and he asks the guard if he can speak to them. And that's where we left it off last week. And so let's begin at chapter 21, verse 40. And it says, "And when he had given him license, that is license to speak, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. I just want to pause here, tell you who Gamaliel was. He was one of the two chief rabbis at the time, and he was one of the rabbis that was really highly admired by the Pharisee sects, and was exalted as a teacher, and Paul was one of his chief students. He was being trained by Gamaliel to be a rabbi, and this is who Paul studied under. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there was shown from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell onto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report with all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now when why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, and calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes, they threw dust in the air. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Lord, help us to understand that as great as the Apostle Paul was, he constantly met with opposition that was inspired from Satan to try and silence him. And Lord, he was always faithful to you in spite of what was he was facing. And Lord, help us to walk in your strength and your power and to learn from him this hour. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that oftentimes we think of is you read the Apostle Paul and you look at, wow, what a man of God. You look at all the churches that he was instrumental in starting throughout what would today would be the Middle East and over into to South Eastern Europe, which would be Greece and Turkey in that area, and the tremendous impact he had, how God used him to really record for us biblical truth and doctrine for us as Christians to understand how God wants to use us in following the Lord Jesus Christ even more effectively, and how powerful he was in his ministry. Yet I want you to know, the more that God uses a person, oftentimes the more times you meet with opposition. And if you desire and God lays on your heart to be sharing the gospel with people, don't be surprised if you meet with opposition from not only maybe the people you want to share the gospel with, but from others as well, saying, what right do you have to share? One of my, I remember hearing the story told of one woman that was trying to share the gospel with another, and every time they want to share the gospel, they seem like this person only knew one verse, and you probably know people like this, judge Lot, lest you be judged. But they take the verses out of context to try and get you to be silenced. And then you realize, yeah, I'm not to judge you by my authority, but we are all to be judged by the authority of God and His Word. And I want to share how we don't have to face the judgment of Christ because Jesus has forgiven us for our sins. And he has come to shed his blood that we don't have to have that day of judgment, but that we can be forgiven. And that's at the heart of the gospel. And we see that Paul wanted to share that message with all people. Now, one of the things that Paul did is he started out by sharing his testimony. And one of the things that each one of us have is we all have a testimony. What is a testimony? Well, a testimony is a statement of the facts as they have been relayed, as we have seen them and lived them. So our testimony is, what has God done in my life? How did I come to know the Lord Jesus? How was I transformed in my life? What is the difference in my life? Each one of us here, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. Part of the problem is Satan doesn't want us to share that with anybody. Because he doesn't want us, other people to know that there can be a transformation in a person's life. There can be a transformation and a shifting of values from that which is wicked and evil to that which God loves. There not only can be a shifting in a desire of service from desiring to serve the things of this world to rather coming into having a heart for the Lord and wanting to serve and love Him. And all this is done through when we come to know Christ as our Savior. He sets us free from the burden of our sin, from the guilt of our sin, from the control of our sin over our lives, so that we in turn have become the children of God and are a new and different person. People, one of the most effective ways, the most effective way is sharing the Word of God with people, but another effective way is to tell people, why has God made a difference in your life? And how has He made a difference in your life? And that's exactly what Paul is doing with the Jews as he's standing before them. Now, as you look at what Paul, in this instance, he's facing a very hostile crowd. And I want you to know, Paul was a man, just like we're people. He had emotions, he had feelings. But yet, Paul, as he's facing this hostile crowd, all he'd have to do is deny his position with Christ, because even by his own words and testimony, they knew who he was. They knew how he'd been trained. They knew who had sent him to Damascus. That was all part of his testimony. And so they knew that he was, at one point in his life, a strong Jew and one who wanted nothing to do with Jesus and did not see that Jesus was the Messiah and Jesus was the fulfillment of all prophecies, speaking of the first coming of the Messiah, and that Jesus had been the one that God had sent to deliver men from their sin. And so all Paul would have had to do to get out of this situation would be to deny Christ. But that's the one thing that Paul would never do. Paul had, on his missionary journeys, there was more than one occasion where if he just would have been silent and quit preaching the gospel, he wouldn't have been stoned. If he had been silent and quit preaching the gospel, he wouldn't have been run out of town. If he wouldn't have been silent and quit preaching the gospel, he wouldn't have had the Judaizers going after him trying to cause riots to occur. But if Paul had not preached the gospel, he would not be true to the Lord and what God had done in his life and the vow that he had made to Christ to serve him because of what Jesus had done for him. So Paul begins by speaking to these people, and he starts by telling them that he's exactly like them. That's exactly his history. And he starts by telling them and begins in verse 3, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city. And as we said at the beginning, he was brought up in this city, and the reason he was brought up in Jerusalem was that he had gone there to study under Gamaliel, one of the two great rabbis of his day. And even to this day, this man is recognized by Orthodox Jews as being one of the greatest rabbis that ever lived. And Gamaliel was also a rabbi. If you remember, his name appears in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where the people refer to him about this sect, they called it, of Christianity. And he said, if this is of God, it's going to last, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. And if it's not of God, it'll die by itself. And so he says, we should not persecute these people, lest it be of God. That was his response when they asked him what to do. And yet they acknowledge that he's one of the great rabbis, but they don't even listen to his words. Because really what had happened, as we see here, Christianity was exploding throughout the Roman Empire. When you stop and think, it started with about a little over 100 people in Jerusalem that believed in Jesus and that he actually risen from the dead, and then all of a sudden it exploded throughout the Roman Empire. And this was without all the modern conveniences and means of travel and the means of communication that we have today. This was going synagogue to synagogue, community to community, and speaking in the open air, or speaking in the synagogues, or speaking at gatherings, and giving their testimony of who Jesus was. And that God used that to touch people's lives and open up the gospel, and the message was received readily and received exceptionally well by the Gentile community. Now, so Paul begins by giving him his background. And he talks about the fact that he had actually been doing what they were doing to him. He had been a persecutor of those, and he refers to it, those of the way. And that would be those that were following Christ. He had gone out and he had persecuted them. He had done everything in his power to have them thrown in prison. He even testifies of the fact, which we saw earlier in the book of Acts, when Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, was being stoned, and all he did was give his testimony and recount how the scriptures had foretold this coming of the Messiah, and that this Messiah was Jesus, and that he was believing in Jesus as Messiah, and they picked up stones and were stoning him. And there was a young man standing there who gathered their garments, because when they, much like Orthodox Jews, have seen some of them, they can wear long, when they're dressed in their robes and stuff, it's long robes, and back then they all wore these long robes, and it's hard to throw stones when you're wearing a robe. And so they'd take off their outer garments so they could throw stones better. And there was a young man who was holding the garments, and that was the Apostle Paul. And Paul testifies to that fact. And many of the people that are standing there in Jerusalem would be aware of that occurrence. They'd be aware of when Stephen had been stoned because of his testimony of Jesus Christ being Messiah. Paul says, I was there, and I actually participated in it. Then I was given letters, and he says, not only that, he says, the high priest, who was the high priest at this time as well, had given him the letters. They knew who I am. And I took these letters and was given these letters to go to Damascus, which gave me the permission to arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to have them tried and thrown in jail, and eventually some of them put to death for their faith in Christ. That was my assignment given to me by not only the high priest, but also the elders of Jerusalem. And so we see that these people were some of the same people that were instigating the others, the encouraging the Jews of Asia to do this, to stir up the people and come against Paul. But he says, these people know who I am. They also know why I was sent. Now I'm going to give you my testimony, he said. Basically, he didn't use those words, but he did. He gave them his testimony of what happened when he got to Damascus. And this is something he had no control over. God came, Jesus appeared to him. He was out to persecute Jesus. And remember what Jesus did. He appeared to him in a great light and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And just as he gave the words to them, and they must have stood there, and at this point in time, they're still transfigured by his speech. And they're all in silence as they're listening. And they hear that Jesus is the one that called Saul. And he said, why are you persecuting me? And then he tells him to go on to Damascus. And Ananias will tell him what to do. And Ananias tells him that that Jesus is the Messiah. He needs to give his life to him. He should be baptized as an acknowledgement that he has received Jesus into his life, and that he's part of the followers of Christ, because Jesus is God come in the flesh. And Paul shares that with him. And then he shares how that Ananias told him that there was going to be more that Jesus wanted him to do. And the Lord appeared to him and told him what he was commissioning him to do. And up until this point, they're all sitting there in silence. If you've ever been there where a speaker has been speaking and he's got the crowd just, they're really intent on what he's saying, and there's not, you could hear a pin drop. That's what the crowd was like from the what you read in the scripture as Paul is sharing this. And then he says some words that cause the crowd to go into an uproar. And that is, I have been commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's when everything goes crazy. Why? Because the Orthodox Jews look down on the Gentiles as being unworthy to receive anything from God. And if this is the Messiah, why would you take him to the Gentiles? If this one has commissioned you as really the Messiah, why would you take him to the Gentiles? They've forgotten the promises that have been given to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did the Lord tell them? He told it to Abraham first, and then he reconfirmed it to Isaac and Jacob, that the whole world would be blessed through them. Now, how is the whole world going to be blessed through them? Well, looking back, we can see exactly how it was blessed through them. The Messianic line came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It came through the sons of Jacob. It came through Judah. It came through a son of Judah, which was David. And the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David. That was spoken of by the prophets. And we see that Jesus was born of Joseph and Mary, and there's two lineages in the New Testament. One is the lineage that is given in the book of Matthew, which is the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. The other is in the book of Luke, which is the lineage of Mary, the lineage of Jesus through Mary. Well, Joseph isn't the father of David, so why would they have that lineage there? And if you look at the two lineages, they separate right at the time of Solomon. There's a another son of David that is in the lineage of Mary, and Solomon is in the lineage of Joseph. Well, what did Joseph's lineage and Mary's lineage, is that an error in the Bible? No, it's not. Because Joseph was not the physical father of David, or of Jesus rather, but God was the father of Jesus. Jesus was God come in the flesh. He was not born of an earthly father. And we see that, but he had to have the right to inherit the throne. And he got that right through the lineage of Joseph, because Joseph came from the line that was on the line to inherit the throne. And we see that Mary came from the other line, which she was also of the house of David. And it said that Jesus would be born of a virgin, but he would come from the lineage of David, and he would inherit the throne of David. So he had the right to inherit the throne because Joseph was his earthly adoptive father, if you would, and he inherited that right to the throne from him. But he was a physical descendant of David through Mary, his mother. So we see that that promise was true. Now, as we look at that, what was Jesus come to do? Did he come just for the Gentile? I mean, just for the Jews? Did he come only to save the Jews? Well, many of the Jews believed that. We see that in the church. One of the first real things that came as a problem in the church was they said you had to be a Jew first. You had to convert to Judaism. Then you could become a Christian. And so that became a real issue. It was brought before the council in Jerusalem earlier in the book of Acts, and they said, no, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to become a proselyte Jew in order to become a Christian. If you're a Gentile, you become a Christian, and they just gave four things that you had to do. And we looked at those last week on Wednesday night, just briefly. But the thing is, you did not have to determine you didn't have to be it. A Jew in order to be a Christian. So a Gentile could become a Christian without being a Jew. Well, this follows what the promise that had been given to Adam. Adam, it said that there would come one who would be the seed of a woman who would crush a serpent's head. And this promise was given to Adam and would be for all the progeny of Adam, all of those who were born of this, that were of Adam, would have the right to receive that deliverance from that Redeemer. That's both Jews, Gentiles, everybody, every man, woman, and child that had lived. What happened is that at the time that Paul is living, the Jews had taken this narrow version that the Messiah was only going to come for them, and if you were going to receive the Messiah, you at least had to be converted to Judaism to receive him. And that was not the case. So these Judaizers were going about, and that during the time that Paul was preaching, they come behind him and saying, you all have to become Jews in order to receive Jesus as your Savior. And Paul was saying, no, you didn't. You just had to receive Christ. He came for all men. Well, that's why they became so upset when he said that he was being sent to the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles were looked down upon as being real dogs and not even worthy of anything. But guess what? Neither is any man worthy of anything because we are all sinners, and the only way that we can come into the presence of God is on God's terms, and he's given us the terms. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Paul is speaking these words, and he isn't going to be stopped by the fact that they tell him you're not speaking the truth. The truth doesn't become the truth just because people say it's not the truth. The truth is always the truth. And the day in which we live, there's a lot of people that say, well, that's not really the truth. There's new truth. No, there is no new truth. There's only one truth, and that truth is found and tied to the character of God, and his word is true, and any other means by which you come to God except by the terms that he gives, it's a false way. And so these Judaizers were really preaching a false gospel, and they were trying to get men to rely upon their works instead of rely upon the finished work of Christ. And we see the same thing happening in many different religion systems today in our world, where they call for you to do works of one kind or another. And even the ultimate works religion is humanism, because that's basically saying it's all about you, and it's about everything that you do, and you can really become a god unto yourself, and you can really save yourself or whatever, but they really don't have any real answers for life. And so we need to examine and learn from the Apostle Paul not to compromise the truth, but rather to stand even when you're faced with tremendous opposition. And the truth is the only thing that can set people free. And it's not combining it with lies just to make it more palatable to the crowd. And one of the sad things you're seeing in the church today is that that seems to be the way that the church is attempting to get people in, is make the message more palatable so that there's even questionnaires they'll send out in the community. What do you want to find in a church? What do you want to be taught in a church? Well, what needs to be taught in the church is the gospel. What needs to be taught in the church is the word of God, because that's the only truth. I can't go out and combine it with psychology or combine it with other forms of world philosophy just to try and attract people and make it more palatable to them, because then I'm not giving them anything that can set them free and deliver them from that which they need deliverance from, their own sin, and be brought into a relationship with God. So in closing, we need to examine Paul. We need to examine his courage, his boldness, and his willingness to stand, and he only would speak truth. Even if it meant that it was going to cost him tremendously, which it was here, he's going to be arrested again. But the thing is, he spoke truth, because only the truth can set men free. And that is found in the cross of Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand these things. Help us to be willing to share these things. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to us and help us to have the boldness to speak as the Apostle Paul did. And sometimes we don't have audiences like him, but sometimes it may be our family or it may be our neighbors. And Lord, sometimes we want to just not share the message boldly, or we don't want to share the truth because we're afraid they'll be offended. But Father, only the truth of the gospel can set men free. Help us to learn that and to take it with us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you would turn in your Bibles, or your hymnals rather, to "I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian." And that is...